Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to John chapter 6. Next week is? Well, just checking. Next week is Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And you know, it can be the most wonderful time of the year for the gospel, but it's not easy. Some of you are going to be getting together with unsaved loved ones, family members, friends. How many of you, by the way, know you're going to be with unsaved family members? Okay, a few of you. And some of you, you may not be planning it that way, but you will have opportunity for the gospel. And that is not always easy. But because you love them and because you know the Word of God, I hope that at least you will have in your heart the desire to speak to people about Jesus Christ and about the gospel. But what will you do when they reject? Because you know that's very likely. It is natural for sinners to reject everything that we have sung about this morning. You could sing these songs and read the words and recount the Bible story, but it is very natural for people to reject. What then? Well, my advice to you is follow Jesus. Follow Jesus Christ. Follow His example. And take a look at what He teaches us today in John 6, 41 to 45. Recall that Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And part of that work is telling it like it is. Title of the message this morning for John 6, 41 to 45 is Telling It Like It Is. And I hope that you'll follow along and take heart to what you hear. John 6, beginning at verse 41, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." A friend is someone who, Now we could stop there and there would be a lot of different answers. There are many different answers to that question. I even see some hands raising back there. They want to answer that. If you look online, you'll find today's popular answers. And one of the most popular ones is a friend who is someone who will let you be whoever you want to be. Boy, doesn't that sound like pop culture? Of course, that's a lie. It's a reminder that the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. But one thing is true, a friend is someone who will tell you the truth, even if the truth is hard to bear. We see Jesus doing that here. Jesus Christ, in this text here, is telling unbelievers the truth about themselves that is very hard to hear. But it's important. I hope that as we walk through this, you will take note. First, to the rejection in verses 41 and 42, then to the correction in verse 43, and then to the truth about the resurrection in verses 44 and following. In all of it, we learn from Jesus to tell it like it is. Notice first the rejection in verses 41 and 42. Take a look. It says, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" What did the Jews do? Complained. Some of you have murmured, grumbled. It's a really interesting Greek word. How many of you have ever heard of onomatopoeia? Some of you have heard of that. We have words like that. Roar. That's a word that sounds like what it is. Roar. Well, the Greek word here is gangudzo. So now let's all say gangudzo. Gangudzo, gangudzo, gangudzo. That sounds like murmuring. Complaining. Grumbling. Grumble, grumble, grumble. That's what the Jews were doing. They began grumbling about the Son of God. They began complaining about the Christ, murmuring among themselves about the Messiah. Why? Well, notice what it says, verse 41. The Jews then, it really should read, they began murmuring or complaining, grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Well, which part didn't they like? Was it the I am the bread or the I came down from heaven? Look at verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? That was the hard part. Now, you need to pay attention here because we're going to get into their thinking. We're going to get into the mind of the unbelieving. Do you see the problem? Here it is. It's a serious problem. In their minds, based on what they already know and believe to be true, Jesus cannot possibly have come down from heaven. There is no way that they can accept that as true. Because as far as they know, what they believe is Jesus is the son of Joseph. Is Jesus the son of Joseph? No. Jesus is the son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary, which is what we're celebrating at this time of year. But they don't see it that way. And they can't. They cannot see it that way. To them, what Jesus says is foolishness. And this is the plight of the unbelieving. The gospel to them is foolishness. And they cannot see it any other way. Listen, the simple truth about the unbeliever is that they do not believe. They themselves will tell you that. But the hard truth about the unbeliever is this. Nor can they. Did you hear me? Let me put it this way. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ is blinded by sin, by pride, and by the devil. Now the question is, would you tell them that? Would you tell them their condition? Jesus says to these unbelievers in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. It's like telling a patient, your condition is really bad. It's so bad that apart from a miracle, you are without hope. I want you to grasp this truth. Turn over with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians 2. Many, even professing Christians, reject what I'm telling you this morning. Don't be like them. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 because you need to see that Paul teaches the same truth, though he makes it even more clear. This is the unbeliever's condition. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, who is the natural man here? It is the unbeliever, the person who has never been born again by the Holy Spirit. And Paul says the natural man does not receive what? The things of the Spirit of God. In this context, that is a reference to the truths of the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that they reject everything, but certain truths of the gospel the natural man cannot accept. It says he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him. That's exactly what we're seeing in John 6. They're foolishness to them. They can't perceive it as anything other than foolishness. And the reason is, the truths that we proclaim of the gospel do not line up with, do not jive with, do not agree with what they already hold to and believe. But now look again at what it says in 2:14, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. This is human inability. This is the doctrine of total depravity, that the sinner is so beset by sin. The sinner's problem is so severe that he is not able, apart from a miracle of God, to discern spiritual things. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Now I want you to turn back to John 6. Jesus is proclaiming that truth to unbelievers. The Spirit of God is showing us here, first of all, rejection. It is rejection on the basis of conviction. But their conviction is wrong. The conviction is wrong. They are convinced, these Jews in John 6 are convinced that what they already believe is true. And that's why they start complaining and grumbling in response to the truth. And the question is to you who are believers in Jesus Christ, when you tell someone truths of the gospel and they clearly reject them, then what do you do? So notice second now, the correction. Really, everything from 43 on could be considered correction. But notice verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves." Literally, stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. This is Jesus confronting them head on. And you might think, well, why would he do this? Is Jesus just sort of fed up? Is he just sort of frustrated? And is he going, well, then you guys stop it? Not at all. In fact, what Jesus Christ is doing here is applying a principle of wisdom that he applies throughout the Gospels. Now, when we were in Honduras in September, I went through a two-day study with the pastors down there of every time this verb, answered, is used in the life of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it took us 2 days. There's tons to learn, but you will learn this if you study it. Jesus, time and time and time again, every time he's dealing with unbelievers and he's giving them an answer, he's applying a principle of wisdom found in Proverbs 26. I'm going to turn there for a moment and see it. Proverbs chapter 26, because this is crucial for you. Proverbs chapter 26, and as you turn there, I want to remind you that the definition of a fool is someone who despises God's wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7 says that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. What that means is you can tell a fool by their immediate response to truths from God. Their immediate response is not to say, wow, help me understand that. Why this? They don't ask questions. They just instantly despise it or count it as unworthy of their time and energy. So what do you do when you know that you're dealing with someone like that, which is very common in evangelism? Look at Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Stop there. This is saying there's a wrong way to respond. The wrong way to respond whenever you're dealing with someone who is rejecting God's truth, the wrong way to respond is for you to set aside truth yourself and become just like them. That's the error you want to avoid. Don't set aside truth. Don't set aside God's wisdom. And it's also not a time to become silent, because notice the next verse, Proverbs 26:5. Answer, that's a command. Answer a fool. Now it says according to his folly, but in this case it means as his folly deserves, or her folly. Answer a fool as their folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And you say, well, how would you do that? What would you speak to someone who rejects the gospel so that they would not remain wise in their own eyes? The answer is found in verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Ooh, you know what that's saying? Respond with the rod of correction. When someone rejects the gospel, the loving, the faithful, the Christ-like thing to do is to correct them in love with the truth that confronts their error. Study apocrinomai throughout the gospel. Jesus does it time and time and time again. Their error is what drives the gospel truth he preaches next. Now turn back to John 6 and notice the truth that Christ preaches next. We've looked at the rejection. The Jews are rejecting what Jesus says. They're not taking an interest in it. They count it foolishness because of what they know and already believe. Jesus, in response to that, corrects them, saying, stop murmuring among yourselves because that's not helpful. Then he speaks the truth about the resurrection. It's also about the truth about their condition. John 6:44. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now we need to stop here and ask a couple of questions. Question number one, who is able to come to Jesus Christ apart from a miracle of God? No one. That's the truth. No one is able to come to faith in Jesus Christ of his own power, of his own volition. You must be born again. If you've become a Christian, you have been born not of the will of man, not of the flesh, nor of blood. You have been born of God. John 1, 12 and 13. A miracle has taken place in your life. But the truth is, no one is able to come to Jesus Christ on his or her own. Why? Question number two. Why is that the case? Well, one reason is because of sin. Sin has so blinded the minds of the unbelieving that, as it says in Romans 1:21, and as it says in Ephesians 4:18, their foolish hearts have become darkened. That's the case. That's the patient's condition. And the question is, would you tell them? Jesus does. Paul does. Peter does. All of them proclaim these same truths about how sinful sin is. But there's another reason why the minds of the unbelieving are blinded. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. So question one, who can come to Christ apart from a work of God? No one. Question number two, why is that the case? Because of sin and because of Satan. Question number three, well then, who can come? And the answer is, everyone the Father draws. 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And to draw in every case in the Bible is to pull against resistance. In some cases it's dragged. The apostles were dragged into the marketplace, the same verb, elkuo. It is to pull against resistance. So who can come to Christ? Everyone the Father draws. And what will Jesus do with every single one of them? Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Every single sinner whom the Father draws to his Son, Jesus Christ, will be raised up to eternal life in heaven on the final day. Where's the good news? You know what it is? The Father is drawing people to his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, and I, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That's not all men without exception. That's all men without distinction. That's John 12, 32, I believe, which we'll cover when we get to John 12 in 2024. Making sure you're paying attention. Listen, there's good news here. Though none of us are worthy of the salvation that is found in Christ Jesus, God in his grace sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior for sinners like us. And God in his grace, despite the fact that in our pride we see everything he says as foolishness, God in his grace is overcoming that by drawing people to himself. What does he use? He uses his word. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. What is God using to draw people to himself? The gospel, including the hard truths. Including the truths that we don't like to think about. Including the truth about the unbeliever's condition. And the question I have for you is, will you tell them? This is not something you would say in every case. But when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we ought to be doing all the time, and in particular at the holidays when people are already thinking about the birth of Jesus. Even the world thinks about the birth of Jesus at Christmas, if you didn't know. When we tell them the truths of the gospel and we see that they reject, would you be faithful to continue speaking the truth in love, even truths that confront their error? Yesterday, we had a great men's breakfast. Amen from those who were there? Amen. It was a great men's breakfast. Part of it was the good food. It really is the best breakfast in all of Pueblo. And the price, it's free. Part of yesterday's joy was Brother Jason Russell teaching us through Galatians 6 and talking about the business we all need to be in, which is that of restoring those who stumble back to fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's part of our work. But another part of the blessing yesterday was we rejoiced to hear the beautiful testimony of Brother Vic Gustafson. I won't tell it to you because we're going to work to get Vic to share it with all of you. But one part stood out to me, especially since John 6 has been on my mind all week long. It was the part where Vic said, and I asked his permission to share this, he said, you know, before I was converted and I was going through some difficult times, I was meeting with this brother in Christ, and one day he said to me, you are a whitewashed tomb. A whitewashed tomb, a grave full of dead men's bones. And Vic said, you know, that really offended me. That is offensive, isn't it? I mean, to call somebody a whitewashed tomb, and you say, where in the world would that brother ever get the idea to call someone a whitewashed tomb? The answer is, Sunday school answer, Jesus. Jesus. Which is where we should get the idea to speak very difficult, even in some cases offensive truths, in love, in order that sinners might be shaken out of their complacency. Because you know what? If you're here today and you're not a believer, you probably think you're fine. You probably think you can just go right on living the way you're living and nothing bad's going to happen. And nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is that you are under God's wrath right now. And the fact that you have not yet believed means you have been stiffening your neck and hardening your heart. And there's a proverb that says, he who stiffens his neck after much correction is suddenly broken, and that beyond remedy. That's a truth that pictures a neck snapping. Don't stiffen your neck today if you're here and you don't know Christ. Don't harden your heart today. Today's the day for salvation. Today's the day for rejoicing. Christ was born for you to save you from your sins. God the Father, by this sermon, is drawing you. He wants you to know the truth about your condition. It's terrible. But there is a miracle by which you could be saved, and that miracle is available for the asking. It really is. Call upon the Lord and you will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. And no one who calls upon the Lord will ever have regret that they did so. So listen, if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm guessing this is not the first time that you've ever heard the gospel. Don't go away today unbelieving. Ask questions at least. Come up to me or Pastor Dan or Pastor Rick or Pastor Drew or probably somebody right in your row and just say, yeah, but what about this? Express your difficulties. Deal with your hardships. Don't leave without Christ and don't leave without asking questions. Humble yourself and as a minimum ask questions today. Or better yet, humble yourself and say, God help me. God have mercy on me, a sinner. Help my unbelief. And he'll answer that prayer. But listen, if you're here today and you're a believer, understand this. God uses difficult truths to save the lost. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, in ending his great sermon about Jesus Christ, he said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Messiah. And it was at that point that they were cut to the heart and said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? The Apostle Paul in Acts 17, when he's on Mars Hill and meeting with those in the Areopagus, told them, this God that you worship in ignorance, him I proclaim to you. And he closes by saying, God in times past has overlooked your ignorance, but now is commanding all men everywhere to repent. That's hard truth too. And yet, that day, again, many were saved. I myself was saved in part thanks to a man who said to me, you seem like a very nice young man on his way to hell. And it made me so angry that I tried to prove him wrong. And I came to Christ. Listen, beloved, don't be afraid to preach the hard truths. Accept what Jesus is saying here. Be bold like Jesus Christ to tell it. And count on him for results. Follow Jesus Christ. A true friend is someone who will tell others the truth that they need to hear. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are not a God who shies away from telling it like it is. We thank you for sending your Son into this world to declare truth. He said to Pontius Pilate, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world to bear witness to the truth. And Father, we thank you for this great truth in John 6, that no one is able to come to Christ apart from your work. And Father, we thank you that you are drawing people to yourself by your loving kindness and by the great truths of the gospel. If there's anyone here today, Father, who does not have Jesus Christ, May today be the day of salvation. May you break a hard heart today. May you soften someone's stiff neck today. May today be the day of salvation and forgiveness in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.